This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan. San Diego's own Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
It actually keeps people from, at the end of the year, where they know they're not in the playoffs, because if you don't, you could end up playing a flute at the Embarcadero.
And Chris Ello.
Just trying to do a radio show here, and Scraby's babbling on about stuff during the break. We have to turn your mic off just to return to the airwaves.
We're here at Petco.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Yates gets his sign from Mejia. He comes set. Muncy leads it first. The pitch is taken at the knees. Strike three call. Turner can't believe it. He's going to walk with the plate umpire Drake back towards the Dodger dugout. Now Dave Roberts out of the dugout. And the ball game is over. Kirby Yates collects his 38th save of the year. The Padres win it 4-3.
And I do not feel sorry one bit for Justin Turner. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris, everybody. Broadcasting live today on this Tuesday afternoon. Rovino, the foodery on the corner of 9th and Market in the East Village, right near Petco Park. And we're going to be broadcasting right up until 6 o'clock this evening. We hope you'll drop by, say hello. Happy hour gets started at 4 o'clock here, featuring local craft beers on tap, house wines, $5 per glass. Happy hour food items like spicy Parmesan fries, sirloin meatballs, yes, thank you, roasted artichoke, fresh salad of the day, much more, all $7 or less. We are having a ball. We had a great time out here, Tony and I, on Friday at Rovino the Eater and their grand opening, and this place is still rocking. Tony, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. And
anytime I'm surrounded by food, I'm generally pretty
yeah,
good.
I know. The coach, John Quintero, asked me what I liked here at Rovino the Foodery. I said, Why don't you tell me to give you a list of stuff I haven't tried? Because
yeah.
I've pretty much sampled everything that's in this place, and I still got a long way to go. The homemade pizzas are unbelievable. The fresh-made pasta, the gelato. The gelato's behind me.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing, because if I was turned on the other side here and looking at the
you'd
gelato.
You'd be distracted.
I couldn't do the show.
Yeah.
I couldn't possibly do the show. How was the broadcast last night? You and Jesse working a good ball game. The Padres come back, win 4-3, and take the first game of that series.
It was a lot of fun. Jesse and I haven't got to work too many games. I think we've only gotten to work three this year together. So it was nice. It was nice being able to have a conversation about baseball during the game, and I look forward to tonight's game, especially, you know, considering the fact the Padres walked away with a W.
Absolutely. Well, there was two things that happened in that game that the Dodgers messed up on, and honestly, I don't feel sorry for the Dodgers on either one of them. I'm sure the Dodger fans are whining and complaining about it, but one is Justin Turner striking out to end the ball game. Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but as a little kid, somebody taught me when you have two strikes on you, you better swing at anything close. You cannot count on an umpire, and you especially can't count on that particular umpire last night, Rob Drake, who was having trouble calling balls and strikes all night long. Justin Turner could not believe the final call. I was down on the field. The ball was very close to the knees. It may have caught the knees. It may not have caught the knees. But with two strikes in the game on the line, you can't just leave it in the hands of the umpire. That's your fault, is it not?
No, you can't. But when you have been as good as Justin Turner, you depend on that skill set to be able to take that close pitch in that close moment. That wasn't an option last night for anybody.
No.
Let alone Justin Turner. I mean, Rob Drake, for whatever reason, had a rough night behind the plate. And it wasn't that – and listen, I agree. I don't think those pitches Justin Turner took were balls. They were strikes. But all night long, it was literally a coin flip on those same exact pitches if they were balls or strikes. So to your point, yes, when you had eight and a half innings of watching eight innings of an umpire, you know, kind of being not kind of being very inconsistent on the strike zone, you're taking pitches at your own peril at this point.
That's right,
and that's what happened last night. Completely understand the frustration Justin Turner had, because guess what? There were a lot of guys that had frustration. Eric Hosmer got rung up on a pitch that had no business being a strike. Yet he walked back to the dugout after having some words. But that was kind of the case all night for both sides. So I get the frustration Justin Turner had. But that's, again, you're taking pitches with an umpire who has having a bad night behind the plate, you run the risk of that being the end result.
I think you said it perfectly. You're taking it into your own hands.
Yeah.
You can't let the umpire decide it for you. And the other mistake the Dodgers made last night that we didn't talk about yet was on the key play of the game when A.J. Pollock threw the ball in from center field to Justin Turner in the sixth inning. He wasn't trying to get a runner out. There was nobody trying to advance, just getting the ball back into the infield, but the ball skipped past Justin Turner, went into the Dodger dugout. That's a two-base advance. That changed the entire complexion of that inning in the game.
That's the game.
But what happened was the rookie pitcher, Dustin May, did not back up the throw. And I know that people are going to say, well, he's a rookie pitcher. He'll learn. He's only 21 years old. Sorry, I can't buy the excuse. I was taught to back up, and believe me, I gave up a lot of hits in my life. So I knew that when there was a runner potentially going to third or coming home, you have to go back that play up. And if Dustin May is doing what he's supposed to do, backing that up, it rolls right into his glove, and the Padre runners have to stay put. Instead, it goes into the dugout, and that helped the Padres win the game.
There's blame to go around on that play for a lot of different people. A.J. Pollock, who you said wasn't trying to throw anybody out. He's just getting the ball in. Had a little too much carry on it, right?
Yeah.
Justin Turner, who is a gold glove third baseman, I think would tell you, I got to knock that ball down. Every single time. And then you mentioned it already, the rookie, Dustin May, doesn't get where he should be, which is behind third base for backup. So there was a breakdown all across the board there, and it was indicative of the Dodgers losing that game, right? They struggled with runners in scoring position. They did that again last night. They made some uncharacteristic mental and physical mistakes. They very rarely do that, and that led to a loss last night. So I think Dodgers have to look at themselves in the mirror for last night. But on the flip side of that, you got to give the Padres some credit for putting the ball in play. They only struck out five times last night. That's been something that they've struggled with. They struck out five times last night. They put the ball in play. They forced the defense to make the plays in front of them. The Dodgers didn't. Eric Lauer on the Padres side did a fantastic job of navigating through some troubled waters there.
Yeah.
Gets a sixth inning when I think most people thought after that home run, oh, he's coming out. I know I did, but he didn't. He stayed in there and was able to be eligible for the win, and the Padres do their thing and find a way to win that game.
Yeah, it was nice to see another team go 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position and leave 9 runners on base.
Especially the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, especially the Dodgers, but that's been happening to the Padres all season long. Last night, the Padres only left 1 runner on base. They didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to score, but they took advantage of what they had. So a nice start to the series for the Padres. Good for Austin Allen to come up and start that winning rally with a double. Good for Greg Garcia, who I think is – I don't know that they hand out a most underrated player award at the end of the year, but if they do, he has to be in the conversation. No one ever talks about this guy. Tony, he absolutely has to come back and be part of this team next year because he has been so invaluable in so many different ways.
You need winning players on your roster. He's a winning player. Remember our other destination spot we went to, I think it was Sonics, and we had the first PPP here. And one of the questions on there was, how long are we going to hold on to Greg Garcia? Something along those lines.
Yeah, I remember this.
And it really irritated me because at the time, Greg Garcia hadn't even really got that much run yet. And they hadn't been able to see the value. I hope everybody now sees the value of having a guy who can come off the bench, who can spot start, who can fill in when somebody's hurt, and you still get production. Even when he has a bad day, He has productive big league at bats.
He'll draw a walk. He'll work the count. He'll push the count up. He'll make all the plays on defense for you.
It's no surprise that he was in the Cardinals organization before here. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of player Greg Garcia. It's only icing on the cake that he's actually a San Diegan and from here.
Yeah, and it's typical Greg Garcia that he had the middle hit in that rally, because the middle hit is always the one that nobody remembers. They remember the first hit by Austin Allen,
and
they
remember
Josh Naylor's hit
and
the error, but they don't remember that nothing happens without Greg Garcia in that inning. So, nice win last night. Padres beat both World Series teams back-to-back days. They beat the Red Sox on Sunday. They beat the Dodgers on Monday. And tonight, they get Cal Quantrill, who's been pitching lights out, really, for the Padres for the last month and a half or so. He's been hot, so we'll see if he can keep it going. Walker Buehler pitches for the Dodgers. Unhittable at Dodger Stadium.
Not so much on the road,
but
though.
Not so much on the road. So we'll see. Hopefully he'll continue to struggle a little bit away from home. All right. We are underway from Rovino, the foodery today. Unbelievable. It's like a piece of Italy has landed here in East Village. We hope you'll come down and join us. We'll be broadcasting live right up until 6 o'clock. Eric Williams from ESPN is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. We've got to get our NFL fixed today, and we will talk football with him. We'll also hear from Rocky Long, had his first press conference of the new season in terms of getting ready for the Aztecs opener, which is coming up on Saturday night against Weber State. We will hear some of the comments from Rocky Long on this program this afternoon and talk about what Rocky had to say. So all of that and then some. It's Gwynn and Chris. It's Scrabies alongside. We're hanging out until 6. Come on down. Say hi. Rovino the Foodery on 97.3 The Fan. Let's get some traffic to get us rolling today.
.320, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello here at Rovino the Foodery. Happy hour Monday
through Friday.
Are we
seriously at Rovino the Foodery? I honestly thought we were in downtown
Italy?
Bologna. I don't know. Florence, one of those towns.
You've been there, so you can speak.
I've been there.
You can speak like
it's
that.
It's Firenze.
Awesome. This is it. This is Italy in San Diego. Ah, incredible.
Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., featuring local craft beers on tap. That's the happy hour time.
Yeah.
House wines, $5 per glass. Happy hour food items like spicy Parmesan fries. That sounds delicious. Sirloin meatballs.
We'll be getting
roasted artichoke, fresh salad of the day, and more. All $7 or less. So get on down here to Rovino the Foodery. Gwynn and Chris here hanging out, talking a little Padres baseball. Get a nice win yesterday. They now move their record to 61-69. Five games under 500. Seven games under 500. Eight games under 500. My math skills were much better during the broadcast yesterday.
That a boy, Scraby.
But nevertheless, they've found a way to start moving closer towards that 500 mark.
Well, trending in the right direction.
Yes.
And I noticed this last night when I was doing the post-game show, Tony, that you know, I brought it up. I mean, there's still 32 games left in this season, so that's a pretty good chunk of games remaining. Guess how many the Padres need to win to improve on last year's record? They only need to win
four?
Six.
Okay, six, yeah.
If they win six games and lose 26, which I don't think they're going to do.
No, they're winning more than that.
They would end up improving on last year's record. Now, I would expect that they're going to improve on last year's record when you add Manny Machado and when you add some of these other things. But keep in mind that this is still trending in the upward direction. And if they just played 500 ball the rest of the season, that'd be 16 more wins on top of the 61. That would give you 77. I know that people are disappointed with how the second half of the season's gone. I'm disappointed. I'm sure the Padres, the players, management's disappointed. But in the very end, if you wind up with 10, 11 more wins than you had last year, now I sound like you. But the point is, it's a nice improvement on the season. And I just kind of caught my eye last night that they're real close to already doing better than they did last year.
I hate to be that guy, but when we had that rough stretch there right after the break,
yeah,
That was my point, was that, listen, as bad as this stretch is, there's still so many baseball games left that they could mess around and get close to being at 500 when this thing is all said and done. I think if you'd have started the year and said, hey, as a matter of fact, I think we actually asked our listeners about this, and they said an 81-81 season would be fantastic.
They
I think most of
it
said.
Yeah.
So you finish four games under that, as you said, that's still a pretty good season. As you said, plus 10, plus 11 games from the year before. And listen, I know and when you've been in it and watching this team play all season, your expectations changed from April to May when you saw this team play. You thought at one point, they were, as you I think you mentioned a few times, they were in first place.
Yes, they were.
They were in first place for a little while.
But also keep in mind now, Fernando Tatis Jr., who's arguably their most electric player, by the time the season's over, is going to miss 85 games.
Yes.
So he's only playing half of a season. You got to factor that in.
85 games, something like 12 weeks or more.
Yeah.
That's a huge deal. Although, I will say, when you look at their record with him in the lineup and you look at him without the lineup, the record isn't much different. So as much of an impact, and really it's probably how exciting he is to watch play and how that kind of changes your perspective.
But you know why the record's almost the same?
Why is
that?
Let's
go back to Greg Garcia. Because he jumps in there and you don't lose anything.
Great point.
You don't lose anything and people don't recognize that.
And we're
not
sitting here saying he's Fernando Tatis Jr. by any means. But he is serviceable and he keeps things – it keeps you from actually thinking about Fernando Tatis Jr. being gone. Like if you lose a guy like Fernando Tatis normally – without a guy like Greg Garcia, you feel it because whoever you plug in behind it isn't even close to being able to produce at the rate that Tatis Jr. is. And I'm not saying Greg Garcia does, but he does a really nice job of filling the void while he's out.
I agree, and that's why I don't mind talking about Greg Garcia because I think he's overlooked far too much on this team, but...
That role is always overlooked, though. You notice that it's a role.
I always try to look out for those guys.
You should. We all should.
Because I honestly, there isn't a.
They're the glue to the team.
There's not a championship team in the history of sports that hasn't had a Greg Garcia on it, and that means. I don't know. Let's say Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen Bulls. Hey, I can name three or four Horace Grants or John Paxsons. Give me your Kobe, Shaq, Laker guys. You had Robert Horry. You had
Brian
Derek
Shaw.
Fisher.
Yeah.
I mean, every championship team has
those
guys. We
don't
want
to hear any Golden State Giants.
No, I was going to say, what about Tony Kukoc?
He was actually a starter, and he was a guy who got the ball at the end of the
game. Who turned your mic on the first half hour of the show?
I thought
we made a deal about that. No, I didn't
turn
it
off the mics, Gravy.
Tony Kukoc. He's not a complimentary player. God, you're funny. You are so funny. But, no, it's always important to have those guys. And now, Justin Turner is going to play tonight, I'm assuming.
Did he appeal?
He appealed his one-game suspension, and he did get a suspension for one game. And, I hate to say I'm glad he got a suspension, but he did when I compare it to what, you know.
Manny?
Yeah. You know, when you're going to give Machado a suspension for something similar, you better do it for Justin Turner. But I got to ask you, because you've been down there, the umpires have to leave the field at Petco Park, and in order to leave the field after a game, they have to walk right through the Dodger visiting dugout. And last night, that had to really be uncomfortable for Rob Drake and the rest of those guys because Turner was yelling and screaming. Dave Roberts came out yelling and screaming, and Rob Drake's trying to just get off the field because he just called the final out of the game. I don't know what you can do about that, but I guess it's just one of the perils of the job.
It is. I mean, it's not in their dugout, but their door that goes to their locker room is right next to the dugout. So at the very least, you're going to run at least into the manager that's standing right there. So, listen, I think that's – at different stadium, it's different. In Colorado, they come out the center right behind home plate. No home or away is involved.
Yeah.
But in Texas – they come out right next to it. It's different at every single place. Sometimes it's the visitor side that they have to go out on. So,
because I think in a lot of ways, A, it's bad for the umpire, but B, it kind of promotes the other team to argue. My goodness, the umpire who just called you out to end the game is walking right past you.
Especially if he's had a bad day behind the plate.
And here's the one last thing I want to throw in on the umpire. Rob Drake, who did home plate last night rather poorly, will be umpiring third base tonight because it's his turn in the rotation. So he'll get to stand next to Justin Turner all night long. They can talk about it all evening.
Not only will he have to stand next to Justin Turner, he'll be closest to the Dodger dugout all game long.
Well, even the guys that weren't even involved, they're going to get their shots off if something happens. That's just how it goes.
And it's human nature. Keep an eye on this tonight. But if there is a close play at third base,
no doubt,
is Rob Drake going to be able to make the call in favor of the Padres after what happened last night? I know that you're supposed to just put everything out of your mind, but it's human nature.
That's
just human nature. And Rob Drake, we'll see how things go if there's any crazy plays at third base tonight.
Remember that it is human nature. High school football is back on the Fan Friday night. We bring you San Diego CIF football as the modern-day Crusaders head to East County as they go on the road to face the Grossmont Hillers. The game can be heard for free on radio.com and radio.com app. Make sure to download the radio.com app to hear the game from 97.3 The Fan. We're going to step away and pay some bills when we come back. Andrew Luck retiring was pretty shocking, but what's even more shocking is the reaction, an unfortunate reaction from around football. We'll tell you what the fallout from Andrew Luck retiring is next. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
I thought it was pretty disgusting. He's making a really tough decision. And even before that, he makes a decision. I don't know why that doesn't stay in-house to kind of protect him a little bit.
That's Aaron Rodgers, Packers quarterback, talking about Andrew Luck being booed by his own fans. That was disgusting in Indianapolis. I agree with Aaron Rodgers wholeheartedly. Gwen and Chris, broadcasting live today, Ravino, the Foodery. We're on the corner of 9th and Market Street in the East Village. It's as if they dropped a piece of downtown Rome right here in the East Village. You can come on in. Homemade pizzas and fresh pastas, and you can dine in, you can eat outside, you can get a sandwich to go, you can shop at the Italian market here, you can buy me a gelato, whatever you want, just come on down. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, broadcasting live. And also want to remind you, of course, Chris versus the Fans comes up here in about 10-15 minutes, so if you want to start dialing in for that, please do so. You know the call-in number, 833-288-0973. And today we're giving a couple of Padre tickets away to the winner of Chris versus the Fan. Some trivia. That is in about 10 minutes. But, Tony, this Andrew Luck thing, it's kind of touched a lot of players in the NFL. I don't know that if the fans really get it. And maybe this is one of those situations where fans will start to understand a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I might be having too much faith in the fans out there. But start to really understand that these guys, they pour everything they've got into their lives as professional athletes. And I think that the general feeling is, well, they make too much money and they're arrogant and they're prima donnas and they just go out and play football for a couple of hours and then golf the rest of the day. But when you see a guy like Andrew Luck laying his heart on the table and announcing his retirement, and then a guy like Rob Gronkowski coming out today and him talking about what he went through after last year's Super Bowl, maybe you can start to understand it's not as easy as it all seems to the rest of us.
The unfortunate part is I don't think people care, unfortunately. Gronk is pretty well loved by everybody, right? And he was able to get out from under it really because he retired pretty much soon as the Super Bowl ended. It was said that he was going to retire. Everybody was kind of built up for it and was prepared for it. So he didn't catch much flack, at least not as publicly. Andrew Luck, on the other hand, wrestled with this decision a lot longer. And this isn't something that I think just popped up. I'm sure as soon as he started feeling his body started hurting again as training camp opened and he got into that, he probably started wrestling with it from that point on. And I know for a fact from reading, he had had conversations with ownership prior to this week when he decided it was going to happen.
Yes.
So
I just am at a place based on all the craziness we have in our society. I just don't know that people care enough. It's almost like you're here to entertain me. Entertain me.
Yeah.
Period.
And when you're done, I don't want to hear from you.
I don't need to know anything about what's going on.
I mean, every athlete gets to that point where to, you know, hang them up. I mean, I'm going to try to give the fans a little idea, and I know this is probably not the greatest comparison of all time, but if somebody told you tomorrow, guess what? Tomorrow is your last beer league softball game. That's it. You can't play any more softball games after tomorrow. Tomorrow is your last pickup basketball game. Tomorrow is your last round of going out and playing golf with your buddies. You just can't do it anymore. You're not physically capable of doing it, and you're just not going to ever get to play golf ever again. You're never going to get to hit a tennis ball again. Whatever it is that you like to do out there
right.
for recreation, climb a mountain, go for a jog, swim, whatever it might be, imagine if that was taken away from you. And I think that maybe you can start to understand to a little bit of an extent what these guys go through. Now, I know the argument against that is, oh, but they're all making millions and millions and millions of dollars. That doesn't change the fact that they're human beings, and if they cut themselves, they bleed.
Not only that, it doesn't change the fact that that might make it even harder, that they are making millions and millions of dollars, and you're just leaving that to go and be a regular citizen, you know, in our country. So I think that makes it harder in some regards. Here's the thing. For these guys that we're talking about are blessed with the ability to do recreation basically as their job, and they get paid for it. So as you related it to, you know, somebody who's not an athlete but gets to do those things, I would just say this. Just imagine having the physical nature that you have, whatever it is, being able to go for a jog, being able – not being able to do those things.
Yeah.
And we're in a society now where everybody's working out. Like, this is something that's part of most people's life, is getting work. So if you couldn't, if that was taken away from you, period, all you could do was go to work, come home, watch TV. You couldn't do nothing else. It would drive you crazy.
It drives me crazy that I go out and play softball now and I'm nowhere near what I was 20 years ago trying to play softball. I'm like a different guy out there.
No doubt.
I can't stand it when a ball's hit 1 inch over my head and I can't even jump up and catch it.
You want to know how I know Andrew Luck does not want to play football anymore? He left $58.1 million on the table to retire.
Yeah.
58. Yep. And he could have also had to give back $25 million.
Fortunately, the Indianapolis Colts were gracious.
Yes.
I guarantee you, he would have given it back, and it wouldn't have made him come out of retirement. Yeah. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that every athlete goes through. I think you're right, though, Tony. When you hit it, when you said the fans really, we don't care. We don't. We just go ahead and entertain us Sunday afternoon. Knock your heads together. Get hurt. Get injured. And we'll root for the next guy who comes along, because that's the way we are. Most of us root for the uniform or the color of the jersey or the team or the city, but the players themselves, we don't care one way or another about them.
No, I mean, I'm laughing because it's sad, really. I mean, and it's not necessarily sad. That's probably too strong of a word, but that is why you get the reaction of Andrew, the rumor leaking that Andrew Luck is retiring, and you get a stadium full of boos as he walks
off
the field.
You get boos, and you get bozos on Twitter saying that Andrew Luck retiring is so millennial. What does that mean? I don't even get what that means. But
people think that millennials give up easily.
Okay,
I'm not disagreeing that. And I'm in the millennial
me and you both.
Age. I'm not disagreeing that we come off a little soft sometimes, and that sometimes we are willing to change courses pretty easily, you know. But that doesn't apply to every millennial, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Andrew Luck has a flip phone. He's not a millennial.
He's not a millennial, and he's unlike a lot of our athletes. No, not unlike. It's like a lot of our athletes. I should say, like a lot of our athletes, football is what he does. It's not who he is. So you know, for somebody who hasn't lost their identity in football, and he admitted to, you know, while he was going before he got injury that he was that guy. He had lost his identity in football. But what there's more depth to him. I mean, this dude, I believe, has an engineering degree from Stanford. So,
yes, Amy Trask told us yesterday when she was on with us that this is a guy who didn't leave school early to go into the draft because he wanted to make sure he got his engineering degree. He has more things. There's more about Andrew Luck than just football.
Right.
So
right.
I think a lot of really ill-informed people have been critical of Andrew Luck in the last several days and basically trying to straighten you out a little bit. Because you need to think it through a little bit and try to compare it to your own life. Just having taken away from you what you love to do.
And then all of a sudden it not being something you love anymore because of circumstances around your life have changed that.
That's right. It's not that easy. And Andrew Luck, I think, made that pretty clear. And we'll see if, you know, that has a, you know, the question that I have is, something that Amy Trask brought up yesterday, but is this going to lead to more NFL players calling it quits a little bit sooner because they really just don't want to go through the pain? I mean, we have no idea what it's like to wake up, I mean, on a Monday morning after you just been through a 60-minute, three-hour train wreck the day before.
Exactly.
We just don't know.
If you have... Let's say you have 15 tackles on the game. Huh. At least 10 of those are actual car wrecks. It's the equivalent. I mean, you're running at that speed. You're tackling at that speed. It's basically getting in a car wreck.
How about all the plays you don't have a tackle? You're still going to get blocked by
right,
some big dude.
Right. Some dude that's bigger than you, most likely.
I mean, I've talked to nose tackles before in the NFL, and I say, what's it like playing nose tackle? And they say it's like being inside of a pinball machine. You just get bounced around off the bumpers. You don't even
feet
know where
getting
you're
getting crushed.
You don't even know where you're getting hit from half the time.
I played pickup basketball last week, and I woke up on Monday morning feeling like I was in a car crash.
That's how I feel pretty much every Monday when I play too.
can we draw attention to Tony's anchovy Caesar salad over there? Do you see that, Chris?
He is an anchovy
here
guy,
at Rubino.
And that's a strange thing to a lot
get,
of us.
You
but
get anchovies on a Caesar salad. That's how it's
I
really
have never
meant to come.
Actually seen anchovies before.
You need to get out more then.
Well, you've never had oxtail at Thanksgiving before
I
either.
Have not. You're right.
But you got to hang around the Tony Gwynn Jr. world a little bit more often, and you'll start to expand your horizons a little bit, Scraby. There are more things in the world than just pepperoni pizza. As good as it is here at Ravino's.
It's delicious.
There are times you can step outside the box.
I don't want to.
Okay. Well, you just remain that boring, everyday, ho-hum guy that you are.
I will. We got lots of callers. We're ready to go.
All right, good. Let's go. Let's do some trivia. Let's get some Chris versus the fans rolling here.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me. This guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Two tickets to see the Padres play the Colorado Rockies September the 7th, 7:10 p.m. ball game. That's what's up for grabs here. Chris versus the fans. Time for Chris to bounce back. I think the fans have been sharp the last couple of times out.
Yesterday was a pretty easy one. I mean, you only had to answer one question, right? Our caller got the first two right. And then you got the last one wrong. So.
All Chris knows is he's lost two in a row.
Ooh. All he knows is that...
and he doesn't like it.
What it comes down to me, is not even getting the questions right or wrong. It's making Scraby angry.
Yes.
And I haven't done angry. That the last
I kind of
times
enjoyed
out.
You making him angry because you were on a roll there where
I
he
was.
Wasn't... He was having to go back and add questions almost daily.
I know, but unfortunately starting to come up with questions that are just so far off the charts now.
The only way to shut me up is to beat me at Chris vs. the Fans. And the rules for Chris vs. the Fans, you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if he gets it wrong, then you have a chance to move on to the next question, or you win.
All right.
Let's get to the first contestant, Josh from Lakeside. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Hey, Josh.
All right, Josh, here we go. First question. What does ACC stand for?
The Atlantic Coast Conference.
That is correct. Nice work. The Atlantic Coast Conference. Let's move to question number two. Which San Diego Padre won the National League batting championship in 1992?
Tony Gwynn.
Aha! That is incorrect. It was not Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn did not win the championship?
He did not win it.
I have a feeling Chris knows this.
There would be no reason for Scraby to ask this if it was Tony Gwynn, because that would be too obvious. Gary Sheffield was the winner that year.
Gary Sheffield was the winner. He had a chance at the Triple Crown that year, but Fred McGriff got him in homers. I believe Sheff ended up being the RBI leader and the batting title.
How close was your dad to Sheff, though? Probably
I think it was like
close.
2 points.
Yeah. I'm sure he was right there. The funny thing about – not funny, but, I mean, your dad won 8 batting titles and then, like, had 8 more times where he was, like, a couple of hits away.
Close. Yeah, he was close. All right, let's get to question
– contestant.
New contestant, yeah, my fault.
Sorry,
my
Josh.
Fault. Sorry, Josh. On to the next contestant, Evan in Fallbrook. Welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Let's get to this first question. What NFL quarterback played his college football at North Dakota State?
Oh, man. Easton Stick.
Who's that?
Easton Stick, I think his name is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but that
neither.
Is not correct. That is there. It is. There's the buzzer. All right, Chris, for the steal.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz is the correct answer. Chris is back on his swag today.
Did Evan say
Evan
Robin
Stick?
Thick?
Easton Stick did play at North Dakota State.
Oh,
who the heck is Easton Stick?
He's the third string quarterback competing for the Chargers.
Oh, we
that
have
does
a
not count.
How does mean it doesn't count? That was the question.
He's not on an official roster yet.
He's a third string quarterback.
Maybe you get
team.
Yourself into so
no,
much
no,
trouble.
No, he hasn't made the team yet.
Well, they haven't.
You know it doesn't matter. He's on the team.
What
right
are we
going
to do with you? How many times have I told you you've got to be precise on these questions?
I think we got. I think Evan has to move on to the next
Chris,
round.
You have never heard of Easton Stick in your life.
I haven't, really but he nice has, and he went to the school that you asked the question about. So
he's not.
You didn't. You did not have any other qualifications other than
you
the fact that the guy went
didn't
to North
say,
Dakota
and
State,
and he's a starter. You didn't say none of that. So Evan,
I'm in
you're
protest.
Moving on to the next.
I'm in protest.
You're moving on to the next round, brother.
All right,
here we go. Question number two.
Good for you, Evan. You got Tony and I on your side. That's all you need.
Who holds the record for averaging the most yards rushing per game in a season? Is this right? This answer is crazy.
Most yards
yes.
rushing. Oh, man. I don't know. Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis. He did have a huge day against the Cleveland Browns back in the day, but that is incorrect.
Jamal Lewis. This is a give him another question.
Wait, no, I've already asked.
No, we've asked the question before. We have asked the question before. It's Barry Sanders. Remember? Yes.
He averaged 238 yards.
This is my
per
worst
game?
In college.
Oh, in college.
Oh, yeah, you didn't even ask the question right.
No. This is all my fault. So give
oh,
Evan another
God.
One.
Oh, Lord. All right.
My apologies.
Evan, we're going at another question, number two. Hang with us here. What third-round Charger draft pick in 2011 also played for the San Diego State Aztecs? Have you still there?
Are we still on the air?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. He's oh, there. Man, that's a tough one. I don't know.
All right, Ed, we're going to need an answer. That is
Denzel Perryman.
That is incorrect anyway.
Denzel Perryman. All right, what was it? 2011?
Third round draft pick, Chargers, 2011, also played as an Aztec.
I'm 99% sure this is wrong, but it's the only Aztec I can think of who played for the Chargers. Kasim Osgood.
Kasim Osgood did play for the Chargers, but that is also... That's right. That was incorrect.
Oh, listen to Evan getting on my case now. He was drafted way before.
Yeah, Kasim came out like out of school like the year before I did.
Yeah. You know what? I think Evan should be eliminated now from the first question.
Evan, you have moved on to the next round.
What was the answer?
The correct answer is Vincent Brown.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh. Vincent Brown. God.
He had some good games.
Of course he did. Yeah. He had a couple of great games for the Chargers. Not many, but a couple.
All right. Here we go. For the tickets, Evan. Here we go. First, the third question. Who is the only player in NFL history to have lost 5 consecutive Super Bowls?
I'm proud of this one.
Man. Oh, 5 consecutive. Only quarterback?
No. This is any player. That'll be it.
Oh, he's still alive because I might miss it.
No. I'm saying his time has run up,
His time has run out. Why are you particularly proud of this question?
I did some research.
And you're sure I'm going to get it wrong?
No, because...
Because I'm not going to.
I knew it. See, I knew that you were going to know this.
It was a quarterback. He was a backup to both the Buffalo Bills and the Chargers, Gale Gilbert.
I knew it, but I'm not mad at it.
Gale Gilbert is correct, Evan. You hung in there despite the terrible questions early, and you finding a way to get to the end. But unfortunately, Chris is right. It is Gale Gilbert. All right.
We're going to have to extend.
We're going to have to extend this through the next break. When we come back, we have some more Chris versus the Fan.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Everybody stay on the line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.